Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Turco, 90 seconds to go in the period. Tage Thompson, deep in the Hawks zone, brings it top of the right wing circle. Turns, sends it across, but Turco scores! Great puck movement by the Sabres, finding J.J. Paterka, who does it again. Buries this one and gives Buffalo a 3-2 lead with 1:23 to go in the second.
After the win to close out the road trip in Chicago, Sabres are home tonight at KeyBank Center, and that's where we are for Sabres Live, looking to see if this club can improve to 3-1-1 in the last five, taking on a team that probably should score more than they've done so far, but a team that is not bested by anyone when it comes to goals against average. The number one GAA, the number one save percentage, the number one penalty kill. It's the Dallas Stars providing the opposition tonight.
Yeah, and a beautiful day here in Buffalo.
Oh, way to divert the attention from the harshness of the matchup.
I do, because I was going to go and open all the doors here in the atrium to let in all that beautiful warm air, and I feel like I would have gotten in trouble because all that warm air would have got in and affected the ice, but maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to affect the ice a little bit to slow down Dallas in their tracks.
Do you think these conditions, like, it's not like it's loaded with humidity? You know, I don't know how much of an impact it would have in the grand scheme of
humidity
things.
Is the number one killer when it comes to ice and the quality of the ice, but I have to think that if the temperature going to be in the 70s, high 70s today in Buffalo,
correct.
All that warm comes in, there is going to be a certain effect to the quality control. But I can't do it. I can't open all the doors. I won't open all the doors. So now all I can do is focus on the matchup and see that, you mentioned the penalty kill for the Dallas Stars. Like, we're here sitting here talking about the power play for the Sabres, right? Like,
I wasn't.
Oh, well, I am. 0-21, you know, they start generating a little bit more in Chicago. It looks a little bit better. So maybe they're moving in the right direction. But the penalty kill for the Dallas Stars is basically 20-21. Mm-hmm. They've given up one goal in 21 attempts. That is an incredible start for that penalty kill unit that the Sabres are going to have to deal with today, trying to get themselves going on the power play.
Greenway in, Benson out. It has not been a healthy start to the season for Zach. And eventually, not that it hadn't at previous times, but it has officially caught up with him now, in the sense of he and the coaching staff recognize this window of time here that they have on the homestand to try to dial it back and get it right with a little bit of extra rest. Will it happen? We don't know. We're going to find out in 4 days whether he's good enough for the next home game, which is on Saturday against Detroit. But really, and you and I had this discussion quite a while ago, this seems to be the absolute right choice here, because if he's not been right basically since starting the season in Prague, the numbers speak for themselves. There's a couple, and this is not about numbers, it's just I think sometimes it's easier to measure it this way. To be this deep, quote unquote, seven games through in the season and not have any real offensive contribution from Benson or Quinn.
Yep.
You can kind of understand why they are where they are. Now, again, there's an opportunity to win a game tonight, and you're a 3-1-1 in the last five, and that's a good stretch. You keep replicating that, you're going to be in great position when we're talking to you in March from this exact location. But I'm glad for Zach that Greenway is healthy enough to go, Obe Kubel is getting closer, and that there's a nice opportunity here to try to use caution.
Well, caution is a big right here, especially in the early going of the season. And look, you push to a point where this is affecting how you play. And I think Zach Benson pushed and pushed, and he was still pretty effective until maybe the last couple of games where it wasn't the same impact. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, maybe the schedule and the rest is going to help. But a big part of making that decision is Yuri Kulik in the way that he's played with Cousins and Quinn. And, you know, because Benson then was playing with McLeod and I'm looking at my sheet, and Zucker, because Greenway was the one not playing in Chicago. So I think you've got a little bit more stability now in the Cousins line to say, hey, okay, we can give Zach Benson a little bit more break here. Is it producing numbers right now? No. Like, Quinn is still sitting at an assist. Kulik has got one goal. Cousins has got two assists. So, you know, between the three of them, they got one goal. And it's Yuri that has the goal. So it's not, you know, perfect by any mean, but at least it felt like they were going the right direction enough to say, okay, that line would stay together. We can have Peterka, Thompson, and Tuck stay together. We're just going to bring Greenway back in, and everything else is pretty stable. I think consistency is probably what one thing that Lindy Ruff is looking to build on, especially coming back home with this little bit of a homestand now.
Yes, and Sabres will continue the homestand after tonight, and obviously a lot more to get to in the Sabres-Stars matchup here, but we want to remind you about Saturday afternoon, because we get into the black and red, and for good reason, because you just want to, you know, embrace the Halloween nature of this time of year and get a little darker in the color scheme. And it's Hockey Halloween, so you can wear your black and red goat head, or you can wear your spookiest costume and celebrate with the Sabres as they take on the Wings. It's Saturday at 1. First 5,000 fans will receive a wearable goat head themed flag, and there will be a trick-or-treat trail available starting at 11:30 a.m. in the concourse. Visit sabres.com/tickets today. With goal scorer Beck Malenstein, as we get set for the Sabres and Stars. That brought a smile. How are you doing?
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, we're just looking forward to a big game tonight.
Okay,
yeah,
so would you, hang on. Okay, would you have preferred to have scored on the spinorama here on home ice earlier this season, or the way you got the first one the other night?
I would take the spinorama, I think, every single time. Yeah, but regardless, happy to see one go in. So
a couple of years ago, Hudson Fashing scored a goal, which was definitely kicked in. They called it a goal. We complained, but we found out he was one of the best Minnesota soccer player when he grew up.
Okay.
So now you scored one, not kicked in, but still with your feet. Were you a good soccer player growing up?
No, not at all. Not a good
did you play at all? Or?
Please tell me lacrosse was more your thing.
No, I was a football player.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unsurprising.
Yeah, I didn't. I think I played 1 year of soccer. I didn't play very much of it. Yeah, I was more of a contact sport kind of kid. So.
What position in football then?
Running back and a linebacker.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd guess linebacker all day.
I thought maybe like tight end, but back in, you know, was that high school football or?
Yeah,
that...
I played up until I was 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't usually utilize a tight end.
No.
No.
Not at all. No,
did you have to make a decision at that point? Like, would you have been allowed to continue kind of playing multiple? I don't like using the word allowed, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it would have been really tough. I'm trying to think of if I knew any guys that still juggled it after, and I don't know if any did. But really, my decision came down to the fact of if I stopped playing football, I could always go back to it. If I stopped playing hockey, there was no chance I could go skate again in 4 or 5 years. And realistically, it was probably going to be a lot easier on my body. So, yeah, luckily it worked out. But, no, I had a lot of fun growing up and playing both. Made a lot of really good friends on both sides of it. So.
Oh, that's something interesting. Okay, well, let's take the football and the linebacker mentality into hockey. Is there a change in the way that this team is forechecking or your line right now with Lafferty and Krabs and getting on pucks? Some coaches like to have F1 go and hit. Some coaches like to have F1 go in and swing so they can come back. What do you prefer, and what are you guys trying to work on here?
Yeah, I think obviously my mentality is always physicality first. I think being able to go and either make just a rush decision, try to separate that guy from the puck. I feel like if you can do that effectively, you can really cause a lot of chaos. And I think for me too, just being as direct as I can allows my winger or like Laff and Krebsy to read off me. They know exactly what I'm going to do. And yeah, I think we've kind of harped on that. As a group, just being as predictable as possible allows us to play as fast as possible. And there's just no indecision, right? You trust the guys that you're on the ice with to make that play, and then we can read off and react from there.
So kind of like in football, special teams, you're the gunner. You're going to go first,
exactly.
And then everybody's going to read off
of you. Just send me in. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you guys, obviously you did, but maybe take us through just getting ready for the matchup that you had last game, like with Bedard. Obviously, your line, the most you saw of any opponent was the Bedard line. Just take us into what, you know, those nights are like when you know well in advance what you're up against from a skill set standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as a line duty, we didn't know we were going to have them, you know, going into the game, but there was obviously a focus of his skill set and of some of the players around him as a group. And I think when you get those opportunities, you know, I've spoken to a few people about it, it just really allows you to be so mentally focused on the simple details of the game, which I think are so easy to miss sometimes. So, it allows you to play extremely detailed defensively, and the best way to do that's in the offensive zone. So I think we were able to shut them down in the defensive zone pretty well, which allowed us to spend a lot of time in the offensive zone as well. And, you know, when you're there, your confidence is building. You feel good about your game. And it just kind of snowballs. I think as we walked out of that one, obviously as a line, I think it's probably the most offense we've created, chances we've created, and pressure. So I think we were pretty happy with it and want to just build off that moving forward.
What was last Friday like? Because Wednesday is a game in Pittsburgh, and it kind of slipped away. You get a point, but the cliches would be, well, we're right back at it tomorrow, so we don't have time to dwell on it. And then Thursday did not go well in Columbus. So now the other cliche is, well, it's good that we have a day in between now because we can watch video. But what was the mood like Friday, saying, okay, now we have to get ready for Saturday against Chicago, and the last two games really didn't go well?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a whole this season, there's probably been, you know, early on a few games that have slid the wrong way from where we thought they were going to go and how we were playing. And hats off to the group and the coaching staff. Everyone stayed really positive. There's been a lot of good that we've been able to pull from those games. I think that's a huge focus. You know, it's easy to look at a result and just dwell on a loss. But to take that step forward, it's always great to be able to pull those games, address things that need to change, but then focus on the positives that you can continue to work on. And yeah, I think the off day in Chicago was awesome. It allowed us to just, you know, we got lucky. It was a beautiful day. I know a lot of guys just spent a lot of time outside walking around. It's a great city. You know, guys get together, go for dinners, things like that. And, you know, it's the best part of the road. And I think, you know, having that day to really, like you said, focus in on a great challenge moving forward, allowed us to split a road trip, which, you know, going into it, it's maybe not your goal, but it's a nice way to leave when it slides early. So, I thought we utilized it really well. And then, like I said, the energy in the room and the focus has been really good.
If you ever need recommendation on the road, Duffer has all the spots, especially Chicago. He's a big Chicago fan. So.
Well, I was just going to ask. I mean, if you had extended time in Chicago, like, where would you likely go? Like, are you a music guy? Are you, like, what would be, you know, a point of interest for you in Chicago?
Point of interest in Chicago. I mean, if a Bears game was going on, I'd love to see a Bears game.
I have not been to that stadium.
No,
so that,
I think Soldier Field would be really cool. Yeah. I think that would be something I would enjoy. I haven't got to, like, I mean, a day off here and there is really all I've had. So I've been to some pretty amazing restaurants. I've been fortunate enough that teammates and friends have had connections at a few of those. So I would probably just dive into the food scene and walk around and see what's happening.
Pretty good choice.
Yeah.
Chicago's
pretty great. There's a little area that's pretty famous for all the good restaurants being in that same area.
Okay. Oh, you mean in Rush Street?
That area. But but again, like, anywhere you go on the road, it doesn't really matter. There's always something good.
Exactly.
I found that Raleigh, North Carolina had some of the best restaurants. I always liked going in Raleigh, North Carolina. Maybe it's just timing, or we were there in the playoffs the 1 year, so we got to extend our stay and enjoy it. So I don't know. There's always something to do, but Duffer is the guy to talk.
Okay, noted.
That's also why I'm not on the road much anymore. we need to tone it down for
Fair
this
enough.
Guy. For tonight, what about the potential matchups that you see within Dallas, who are obviously off to a great start?
Yeah, they're... I think they're just picking up right where they left off, right? They're a very good hockey team. You haven't seen a lot of turnover, and so they're remaining successful. So I think it's a great challenge for us, them coming in here. We got a little bit of time at home, which is awesome. I think we want to take advantage of that and build off that, the momentum here, and It's probably very similar to taking on some of those top lines in Chicago. They play with a lot of speed. They got some big guys who can work you down low, things like that. So it's going to be an emphasis for us of how quickly can we get out of our D zone, right?
I was told you're a pretty good chirper.
They
said you always chirp. You're always up.
Who's
on the
they?
I'm just saying.
Razor?
I did a survey today,
okay,
like Family Feud style, and I said, what's happening? Does he talk a lot? Oh, he's always chirping. Maybe they're...
That might be more in our own room. I can't think of anything fast enough out there.
You hang out in the lounge too a lot. That's what
Try
I was told.
To. Yes,
okay, you're a lounge lurker.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, just spend as much time with the guys as possible.
Okay, maybe the chirping part was false, but the lounge part is good, so I'm happy to know that.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us in the Sabres Live Lounge.
absolutely.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
We are looking forward to seeing a lot of people here at KeyBank Center tonight, and we encourage you to purchase group tickets for Sabres games for great networking and fundraising opportunities, perfect for corporate outings, youth sports get-togethers, or just a fun night out for you and your friends. Enjoy savings on box office pricing and exclusive access to unique photo opportunities. Visit sabres.com/groups to learn more today. I think it's fair to say that Beck has fit in nicely with this group. He's a real likable guy when we did a little Zoom call with him. Mm-hmm. Back in the summer here on Sabres Live, again, there's just a real ease about him as a person, and I'm sure you can attest to what that means when you do come to a new group and how to assimilate and just kind of do what you do.
And, you know, your personality doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to translate to success on the ice, but what it means is that regardless of who you're going to play with, this is one person that's going to reach out and say, okay, let's do this.
Or if you look at the board and see he's on your line, you go, cool.
Cool, yeah, right? Exactly. Like I'll go talk to him. Like, I know that we can work it out. We can kind of discuss how we're going to approach face-offs and forecheck and neutral zone. And if there's things that, you know, I prefer, I'll let him know because he'll want to know those things. So I think personality is not all that comes in when you talk about hockey players. But even the best hockey players love to talk, love to discuss the game, love to come back to the bench and talk to their line mates, right? And that's a good positive trait in Beck Malenstein. And being a new guy, you got to be able to let your teammates know you, and you got to know them. So I think he's fit in really well.
It was kind of funny when he almost was worried about a perceived reputation that you were trying to create for him.
Being a chirper. I'm like, what I was told. Yeah. He's like, no, I'm terrible. And then, you know, we got talking a little off the air about, he's like, I always get home at night. And I'm like, oh, I should have said that. But, like, that's our problem.
When you think about the good lines, good digs.
I had so many. Now I think years later, I'm like, oh, when I was in that situation, that's what I should have said. But it doesn't really work as a chirper.
No, you have to be incredibly spontaneous. I'm trying to think, why am I blanking on his name? He played for Dallas, and he was a little... Oh, Vern Fiddler.
Vern Fiddler, okay.
Remember the video from a few years back when he got into it with, I think, Bieksa, and Al Vigneault...
Was laughing.
Was dying. The chirp that happened right in front of the bench, and Alan had to turn away.
He's trying not to laugh, and he can't hold it in.
Because he knows it's against his own guy, and it's like, I can't.
And he also knows the camera's going to be on him because you're a coach in this situation.
I know Vigneault's not your favorite guy, but I think some of those moments
were... He's not my favorite coach.
Yeah.
I think as a person, I've enjoyed him off the ice and talking to him. But that moment, Google Alain Vigneault can't stop laughing, and it is so...
Those are great. those are you know, truly enjoyable moments for all, like, when you're in it. Like, again, you go back to players that the end of their career comes and they say the stuff that they're going to miss, right? Yeah. Like, it's all that spontaneous stuff. But tonight, obviously, Malenstein stays with Krebs and Lafferty.
Yes.
You have Greenway coming back in, so in all likelihood, he's reunited with McLeod, the three-game goal-scoring streaker that he is with Jason Zucker. And while the top line stays together, we're also seeing Benson not in the mix, which leaves the Cousins line basically intact as well with Quinn and Yuri Kulik. So how or which line do you think can find success against this incredibly staunch Dallas team? That, by the way, since the 2019 Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
This Dallas team, under three different coaches, has the third most playoff series wins, but has not reached the Stanley Cup final, unlike every team around them in that winning pedigree. Oh, sorry. Did make the final in the COVID year. Pardon me. Lost in consecutive conference finals, the last two. So
are you like, including Ken Hitchcock in that? Or
no.
So it's Bonus?
No, Montgomery, Bonus,
and Pete DeBoer.
It's impressive.
But even before that, you think of the success that Hitchcock had with the
Bruins. I mean, they've made playoffs five of the last 6 years, right? And they just – the reason I bring all this up, not that you didn't know it, but you certainly got reminded of it the way Malenstein looked at the opposition tonight. Sure. Like, they're literally just picking up where they left off. And I don't think you could describe it any better. Yeah, there's some new faces, especially on the blue line. But this group is so... Like, they know who they are. That's the beauty of them,
right? They lost Kristanov on the blue line, but that was a deadline acquisition, right?
Mm-hmm. So, well, a little bit earlier.
But it wasn't at the start of the year. They lost Ryan Suter, who's getting older, but still had a role in some way. They lost Hakanpaa, but I think, you know, they replaced their back end, and they're given Thomas Hurley and Lindell and obviously Heiskanen a lot more responsibilities. They're great. To me, it's the forward group, because we talked to Beck Malenstein and we look at that Krebs line with Lafferty having to play such an important role in Chicago because they played against the Bedard line a lot. It's a road game, so Chicago had the matchups. Here in Buffalo, I would anticipate it's not going to be the same matchup. Lindy's not going to say, okay, Krebs, you're going to go against Roope Hintz. Like, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter if it's not Roope Hintz, because you've got guys like Dodonov and Marchment and Duchesne playing in the bottom six.
Yeah.
And so anybody, anywhere, is going to have a really tough matchup. It doesn't matter if it's Thompson playing the top line or if it is the, you know, McLeod line or the Krebs line. They're going to be very tough matchups up and down the lineup, because Dallas is very deep up front.
And historically, because, you know, some of these guys have been in a lot of head-to-head matchups against Buffalo. There's just a lot of players who are close to a point a game in their careers against the Sabres, so it just speaks to the exact depth that you're talking about. The strange part with Dallas right now, but maybe not because of the changeover, if you will, on the back end, they're getting next to no offense right now from the blue line, including Heiskanen, which is surprising, but it'll change in time. But it's been offset by just elite-level defending and goaltending. So, you know,
they're not scoring a ton.
No, they're right? less than Buffalo right now.
Exactly. So. And the way that – because I watched them a little bit this morning. They were working on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
Their power play is 2 for 18.
Right.
I know Buffalo's 0 for 21, but 2 for 18 isn't great either.
Right.
They're 29th in the league. Buffalo is obviously last with the Anaheim Ducks. So those are the two teams that have not scored a power play yet. But – power play for the Dallas Stars hasn't been great. But the strength of the Sabres has been 5-on-5. They are 17 goals for, 16 goals against. 5-on-5, they've really been able to establish their play. Well, Dallas is 12-6, 12 goals for, only 6 5-on-5 goal against in this early going in the season. So, again, it just shows to the identity of the Dallas Stars that even if you think your best part of your game is your 5-on-5 play for the Sabres, you're going against a team that is feeling like their best part of their game is also 5-on-5, and they're going to go head-to-head.
One part of the brains behind that success just walked out the door. That would be Pete DeBoer.
Oh, I love Pete.
Does it seem like, and the reason I kind of brought up their recent history over the last six playoffs and the different coaches and stuff, like, does it not feel like DeBoer's been there longer? Like, this is only his third year with Dallas. Now, I get it, because it's more the fact that every spring, no matter where he is, you see him deep into the playoffs,
yes,
right? But it is only year three for him here with Dallas. But, again, tremendous regular season and, to a certain extent,
that
playoff success.
Musical chairs between the coaches, right?
Correct.
Pete DeBoer,
yes,
went from Vegas to Dallas. Montgomery, who was in Vegas in Dallas before, ends up in Boston.
Bruce Cassidy ends up in Vegas.
It's like the musical chairs was happening. But, obviously, Pete DeBoer's had a really strong handle on the way that this Dallas teams have played over the last little bit here and the identity that they've carved up. He's always had a defensive-minded type of approach, but he they score a ton, mm-hmm. right? That's the secret sauce right there. Play well defensively, and you're going to score.
Okay, so within that Sabres group, who are you looking for a breakout tonight?
Well, I would like to say Alex Tuch, and the reason why I'm saying Tuch is
because... He's their leading point getter.
Yes, but as, when you watch the game, do you feel that...
Do you want me to phrase the question differently? I need somebody that doesn't have a bunch of points to break out. That was why I was pushing that.
You don't know, because I'm looking at the games, and I'm like, okay, Paterka. Like, we watch the games. Paterka is especially now, back from the concussion. He's been leading. He's been really taking charge of the line. And Tage has really... jumped on, I don't want to call it jumped on Paterka's wing, but it's almost like that. Like, Paterka's setting the tone, and Tage has gotten there. Alex has kind of followed in more of a third guy. Like, I want to see Alex Tuch saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to be that
if
force.
If he ends up with 82 points as the third wheel on the line, I'm going to be pretty happy.
But I remember last year when Paterka joined the Thompson and Tuch line,
yes,
and Thompson starts to score more, getting himself short of 30, he stopped at 29, but he was more productive in the last month of the season. Alex Tuch said, I love when Thompson scores because I get freebies. I get free apples. I don't want free apples. I don't want 82 free apples or 82 free points for Alex Tuch. I want him to have a very big, like, I'm going to go through that wall and make that difference. I think Lindy Ruff mentioned about the penalty kill today, how and the way that Alex plays, that he has a really good stick, that he's got a long reach, he can be physical. I want to see all those things put together and take a step forward and dictate and really lead that line. Like, Paterka and Thompson have done the work. I want to see Alex Tuch take it to another level.
Is it not a good indicator, though, but maybe you can't wide brush with a comment like this, but is it not a good indicator that even when not doing everything that you hope to see, he is still at 7 points in seven games? Because the best often pick up points. And it's not that I never, upon his acquisition from Vegas, never thought that he would be like an 85 to 90 point guy.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like 2 years ago when everybody was having the career years, you're like, wow. So I don't need him to be that. But the fact that he's kind of back potentially trending that way, is that not a really good sign based on what you're saying could still, like, the impact he can still have?
And he's back trending that way with the power play having done nothing. Like, usually not
probably
front,
the most important thing to note, right? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like, he's got, imagine if the power play was 3 for 21, which still would not be great. It'd be good, but it wouldn't be great. It'd be better than it is now. Maybe he gets himself another couple of points, and all he's 9 points in seven games, and you're like, hey, could he be a point a game plus in the season? I think if the power play gets going and he gets some other kind of offense when you look at the numbers, great. But I still think that when I look at Alex Tuch, I want to see him dominate the game. Right now, he has played some good minutes and has had an impact, especially when you look at the points, you know, 2 goals, 5 assists. But I want to see him, when he gets the puck, I want to see Iskanen and whoever's on defense say, oh, crap, like, here comes Tuch, right? Because he's big and strong, can skate like the wind, and he's hard to defend. So I want to have him have that impact.
Should have had the game winner against L.A. here a while ago, but unfortunately the third period was all Anze Kopitar. But Buffalo definitely looking to add in the win column here on home ice as this homestand begins this evening against Dallas. We'll, of course, have pregame coverage on MSG starting at 6:30, and we'll continue on Sabres Live right after this.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sorry you are hurting, Marty.
Yeah, I don't know why. Just the shoulders right now. Just got to do some stretching. You know, I don't know.
It's a big lift.
Well, you know what?
Every day, it's a big lift.
I feel like it's now I want to open all the doors to the KeyBank Center to let in the warm air. But now I feel like it's cold because both teams have practiced and the temperature drops where they keep the building very cold during the afternoon. So I feel this air flow is affecting my bone structure.
Don't take this as rude. Talk to my hands. They're like ice blocks right now. So that's
it's like your Sabres logo has gotten cold on your hat.
I
love that hat, by the way.
Thank you.
New era.
Thank you. Amazing new era product.
The goat head, blue and gold, but it's very, very unique. I love it.
Yeah, I was hoping Beck would actually ask about it, and I was going to say, hey, tag along. We'll go to the new era store sometime. But
he seems like he could wear a hat or two.
Seems like he could just hang wherever you want to go. And now, I also wanted to offer my condolences ahead of time
to
you, because I know tonight is going to be very difficult to stay focused on the Sabres and Stars with all 32 teams in action across the NHL tonight.
Oh, my book is over there, Duffer. Because I'm going to do... I do some NHL radio stuff, and tomorrow is my afternoon, and morning, I was, like, not thinking about it, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, no. All 32 teams are in action, so I'm going to have to do a little bit of something on all 16 games.
See you at 3 a.m. I'll text you to make sure your prep's all done.
Yeah, and it's not like I can do it tomorrow morning because we're going to be at Roswell Park.
Yes.
You know, for our show tomorrow on location and some alumni stuff. So I'm literally going to have to come home tonight and catch up with all the teams. And the last one's at 11 o'clock. The Vegas game is at 11 o'clock p.m. But it does start at 6 p.m. And with staggered times, not every 15 minutes on the hour. There's some, you know, some that are skipped. But all 32 teams, 16 games on the schedule tonight, kind of fun.
5:30 is the start time in Seattle.
8:30 Eastern.
I know. I'm noting it because of the uniqueness of some of Seattle's start times so far this year.
This is another
random Tuesday start time for Seattle. We're not even a month into the year.
Tuesday of the opening of the
Tuesday afternoon at like 1:30.
Exactly. So here's the thing, though. The Sabres have the 7 p.m. time slot, which is probably the most normal time slot of all time
slots. You would think, yeah.
I wonder if it was a conversation, and please, like, don't radio me. It's just me talking to Duffer here and you that are listening. If it was a conversation where the league said, hey, listen, we'd love you guys to go to Europe next year or whatnot. Okay, yes, but when you do the frenzy again, we don't want the 7:45 starts or the 6:45. We want the 7 o'clock. Okay, done. Mm-hmm. Like, a little bargaining into, like, we want the 7 o'clock start.
Yeah. Speaking of Europe, that is where Dallas is headed very soon. They have a very brief road trip right now. They're here tonight. They're in Boston in a couple of days. Then they're home to face Chicago for one, and then they go overseas to Finland to play the
Minnesota Wild.
Not Minnesota, Florida. And so they play
I'm a little down the list. Yes, it is. They play Florida in Florida.
Yeah, they actually... they're actually going over to Helsinki for a few days as part of the tour, but not actually playing in Helsinki. They play in Tampere. And so, but you know, it's a long trek, and then they play on back-to-back days. So, you know, in their immediate future, they're not going to have a ton of games, but, you know, pretty interesting and maybe daunting task, although I don't think Dallas sees anything as daunting. They're a very good team. But taking on the Panthers that they hope will have Barkov back in the mix by then.
Yeah, this is how I get amused with the schedule, right? So they do, the Dallas Stars play the Sabres tonight. They go to Boston in a couple of days. They go home to play Chicago. They go to Europe to play Florida for two, and then they come home to play Chicago. Mm-hmm. So the Chicago Blackhawks get them before leaving, and they get them upon their return. Both of those games are in Dallas, so they'll be done with the Chicago Blackhawks are going to be done visiting Dallas very early in the season. But, it's look, the Sabres went over to Prague at the start of the regular season, and I feel like right now we're seeing the Sabres are back in North America and playing the way that they wanted to play, playing the way we saw them play in the preseason. I feel like the two games in Prague were unique, and you put them aside. But going in the middle of the season, in, you know, the early going, and having to leave, go play a couple of games in Europe and come back, that is a very unique situation, which the Sabres did when they went to Sweden a few years back.
Not surprisingly, Jake Oettinger is going to start for Dallas tonight. Well, he's 4-0-1 lifetime versus Buffalo. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen is looking for his first ever win against the Stars. He's 0-2, hasn't had a ton of run support in those games. Matt Dumba is going to come back in tonight as well as Sam Steele. So, these are the changes that the Dallas will see. Here's a completely out of left field question.
Ooh.
How many shootouts will there be in the 16 games in the NHL tonight?
I'm going to say two. I'm going to say there will be two shootouts.
How many shootouts all time have there been between the Sabres and the Stars?
Wow. I'm going to say one.
Two, as a matter of fact, and Buffalo's 2-0. So I'm sitting here right now lobbying for a shootout because I'm partial to it. And let me just say, you and I talked about it while we were on the air covering the Sabres-Hawks game on Saturday night. I went back and watched in its entirety the 9-round shootout.
Montreal Islanders
from Saturday night.
Yep.
Holy cow, what an atmosphere at UBS Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the, if not the first, the second shooter on, the fans were chanting, Varley, Varley, yep. Varley. And he missed on a couple of opportunities to get a save, get a win, but then it just kept going deeper. And honestly, the pace was quick. Like, there was no hesitation between shooters. And before you knew it, you were 7 rounds deep and going, this is going really quick here. There were some electrifying goals. The Islanders ultimately won 4-3. It was really cool. So given that we live in this world where we don't see a ton of shootouts, I was like, wow, that was super fun, and what a ride for the fans there that night.
I'm still going to say this. I get that the hockey purists are like, oh, 3-on-3 overtime and shootouts. Anytime you're sitting at home and you have either ESPN Plus on or NHL Network on, or you have the package, and you know, you're looking at your phone, oh, this game's going to OT. Oh, this game's going to a shootout.
Yeah.
Most people are going to turn it on, right? Because that's an exciting part. I get it. Like today, for example, they're going to do this frenzy, right?
Yep.
With all 16 games, 32 teams. It's not like the NFL red zone where when a team is at the 15, you can go there.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this.
Can you imagine?
When a team goes to overtime, 3-on-3, or there is a shootout, the frenzy is going to say, let's go to that game because that is an exciting moment when you know there's going to be action happening in that game.
Yeah, and I mean, to a lesser extent, obviously, when they're bouncing around in the early games and there's not as many that are underway, they're going to try and hit power play opportunities for teams and things like that, right?
Which,
like, that's the minor default to red zone. But, yeah, it should be, in theory, an increased opportunity to score.
I mean, right now, here in Buffalo, with Dallas being 2-for-18 and the Sabres 0-for-21, you're like, okay, let's go to Buffalo for a power play for the Dallas Stars or the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
It may not be the most advantageous way to showcase what's happening, but I do like that, you know, for some people it's going to be bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that with hockey, as opposed to football, and even sometimes when baseball is on late in the season when there's playoff implication, like, most Sabres fans are going to watch the Sabres game tonight.
Yeah.
they're not going to go and say, oh, let me see what's going on in the frenzy, because they want to know what's happening with their team. It's very much regional coverage, and I hope that Sabres fans don't turn on the frenzy during the intermission, because they need to see what's going on with us, Duffer. They need to
live in a multi-device world, Marty. I have a sense that a lot of our fans will have both going, if not 3 to 4 devices going, because that's exactly how you and I would be operating if we were sitting at home tonight. Can you please thoroughly and quickly take a look at the schedule and pick out a game or two that you are most intrigued by the matchup?
Okay, Ottawa, Utah. Both teams can score. Both teams can score. This should be a 6-5 game. The frenzy is going to need to focus on Ottawa and Utah. I do.
By the way, how about Kesselring's OT winner against Boston on Saturday?
Oh, I don't remember
Holy
that. I saw
cow.
That one.
It was just at the tail end of a 4-on-3, so it was technically 4-on-4, but they got. It was. Again, good for Utah. Great start and did just enough to get past a very good and obviously terrific goaltender in Swayman to win that.
Tampa, New Jersey, with Tampa losing to Toronto last night and Vasilevskiy getting pulled.
And lost to Ottawa prior to that.
Yeah, so it's you know, Tampa had a really good start to the season now, a couple of games. New Jersey, they're fun to watch, so that's one. But I think if I'm looking later, Boston, Nashville, with Nashville still with a big donut in their win category, and Boston, who's not had the best of starts. They've had some good games, some easy games, some whatever games. I think this is where the pressure is probably mounting on the Nashville Predators to get themselves going in the early going of the season.
Well, Marty, once again, you missed the matchup of the night, which is Minnesota at Florida. Did you know? What do you mean, eh? A, Stanley Cup champions, reigning player of the week, Sam Reinhart, and B, Minnesota. Tell me the most interesting fact about the Wild this year.
Philip Gustafson has as many goals as Connor McDavid.
Well, if it was a specific Minnesota-Edmonton matchup, then yes, I might concur. But Minnesota is 3-0-2, and they have not trailed a single second in any game this year.
I did see that because...
Unbelievable. Yeah. Absolutely unbelievable. They lost in a shootout, and they lost in overtime. They have not trailed for a single second in the course of their game.
They scored first in every game. Yep. They were able to get leads and then either lose them in overtime or shootout. But yes, Minnesota, that is a very unique stat to start the season. Although, the Wild, like... The reason why I'm like, because the Wild is not a team right now that I have my eyes on, right? I'm watching Eastern Conference opponents, Atlantic Division matchups, teams that are going to be maybe in the Sabres' way to get to the playoffs. And Florida, I think, is going to be at the top of the Atlantic or one of the teams at the top of the Atlantic. So,
well, you say that, but they have 4 wins and 3 losses right now. You know, they're 4-2-1, so it hasn't been an easy road.
They lost a couple of games without Tkachuk and Barkov in the lineup, so that makes a big difference.
They also won without them, too, incredibly, against Boston after losing here. I thought that was a real, just a reminder of how good this team can be. By the way, in that Vegas-Florida game on Saturday.
Yes.
Sorry. These are, we shouldn't.
We should
label a portion of this show random thoughts.
Yes.
Because I get it. Like, we're kind of all over the map here. But the reason these things pop into my head is because I sit next to you and you have the experience in this position, and our producer has kids who are gaining experience in this position.
In the goalie position.
So the other day, Florida-Vegas.
Yeah.
I believe it was the first Vegas goal. I'm wired as a goalie to be mildly irked when the other team scores. Disappointed, whatever, right? Bob turns around, pulls the puck out, makes sure to pick it up and hand it to the official. And I'm like, what? It's not like a courtesy thing where you're up 7-0. You've literally just fallen behind in the game. And I don't know whether this is like a new Bob, Stanley Cup champion Bob, like life is amazing, or he's always done stuff like this.
I think Bob has always been more of a life is amazing kind of Bob.
It was just really interesting and a good reminder of, like, you don't always have to be the way you perceive everybody else to
well,
be.
Number
you know
one,
what I mean?
Number
and they go
one,
on to win the game in overtime.
I remember playing at about 13 or 14 years old, and our coach kept telling the players, hey, if there's an offside or an icing or something, pick up the puck, get it to the linesman.
Yeah.
Goalie, like, don't shoot the puck in the corner. The linesman's coming to get it. Like, you don't have to pick it up and give it to him, but you can move out of the way so he goes into the net and gets it, right? So that's something you can do. So I like that Bob is mindful of. But at the same time, like, we used to joke about, like, in summer skates, when a good shot would happen and hit the crossbar and in, they'd say, oh, tip of the cap to you, right?
Yes.
Tip of the cap. Like, you got to realize that sometimes it's a good goal and there's nothing you could do and you just got to move on.
The next highlight pack that I watched on Saturday was the 11-goal outburst between the Capitals and the Devils, and Markstrom fired one right down the ice after he got beat on the goal. So it happens.
That's a penalty. That's a penalty.
We're back after this on Sabres Live.
More of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The Big 5-0. Happy birthday, Miro Chatan.
Oh, I love Miro. He was a great teammate.
So you're happy that he's out on the new mural?
I'm very happy he's out on the new mural. Led the lead in scoring for many years, although it was like 65 points, you know, but still. One of the big thing about Miro, he used to have that move, that forehand backhand move on the breakaways all the time, and he would score 100% of them, and then he felt like the league would catch up, and then he stopped using it, and he stopped scoring on breakaways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, keep using that move, but he was great.
Can I re-ask a question that I asked earlier?
Well, the answer's still going to be Alex Tuch. I know the question.
Anyone other than Alex Tuch, please. Who's going to break out for the Sabres tonight against Dallas?
Well, let's just go to Rasmus Dahlin. Why not, right?
Ooh,
I think this is...
Was not expecting that answer.
This is Dahlin's time to shine, and Lindy Ruff did say that Dahlin is still not, or getting really close to 100% now, and that's affected them. So I'm going to say Dahlin and Tuch.
Dahlin has played Dallas 10 times in his career, has 4 goals and 8 points. Will he add to it tonight? Stay tuned. We'll see you then.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.